Today on Real Radio.
I believe the Christian is to have absolute assurance, or else, you know, quite frankly, I don't want anything to do with that kind of salvation message. Thank God the Bible is not that kind of salvation message.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, throughout the centuries of the church age, there have been a whole lot of discussions, debates, if you will, and volumes written on whether or not we can lose our salvation. Did that get your ears perked up? I bet it did. We've all heard the words and phrases like eternal security and once saved, always saved. Well, as the saying goes, it's dangerous to discuss scriptural matters without scripture. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, as he focuses on one key verse in John's letter. 1 John 5:13, it's a lesson called, that you may know.
And so when you say, I believe in the name of Jesus, you are certainly saying that his name is the name that we bow our knee to. Yes, of course. But when we say that we believe in the name of the Son of God, we're saying that we believe in his, that is Jesus' authority. That he is who he said he is, and I'm yielding my life accordingly. It is a hypocrite who says, I believe Jesus is who he says he is, but we live contrary. We live otherwise. Intentionally. I don't mean making mistakes, tripping up. Intentionally. But John writes to us for this purpose, that we might have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, tonight, consider this. It's the reason why we bow down. He's writing to us that, yes, concerning salvation, this is the purpose that he wrote, but also concerning this issue of salvation, this is the reason why we bow down, that Jesus is the authority. He's the one who saves us. He does all the saving, Christian. You and I don't. I know you've heard this time and time before, but I just love to repeat this because I need to hear this. He made us the promises. God makes us the promises. Have you seen anywhere in the scripture where God says, make me a promise? Do you think the creator of the universe would bring himself under the subject of our promises? Well, Lord, let me make you a promise. Oh, goody, goody. Oh, boy, Gabriel, Michael, he's going to make me a promise. You know what? When we say, God, I promise I'll never do this again, he just goes, I know the kid means well, but he has no power to keep a promise. He's a human. God's the only one that keeps a promise. But Jack, my fiance just promised me that. Man, that's sweet and neat and all, but you better pray that God gives your fiance the power, because your fiance can't do it. But didn't God create her to make me the happiest guy on earth? God created her to bring her into your life to show you there is only one good and one perfect, and that is God. And that's true on both sides of the fence. Isn't he my knight in shining armor? Hey. The truth of the matter is Jesus alone keeps the promise. Do you want your friend or your spouse or your fiance or your business partner to keep the deal? Then get on your knees and pray for them. That's the only way it can happen. The reason why we bow down is because there's no other authority that we can go to, nor would we. Remember what Peter said in John 6, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And Peter went on to say in that chapter that we know and believe that you are the Son of God. Experience the fact that Jesus is the authority of your life. Now, I know that we humans, there's this tension that we're not going to let the reins of our life over to anybody. And there's this thing within us that, and I think this is the deep struggle of early Christian experience, is that the Christian early on in their walk struggles often regarding these reins of their life. They say, Jesus, here I am, take all that I am, and I dedicate myself to you, and we mean it. But because there hasn't been enough trials, there hasn't been enough difficulties, honestly, listen, there hasn't been enough blood in our Christian warfare, we still think there's a little bit of us who can pull it off. And so many times we grab it and pull it back in and say, Lord, you know, I know that you're kind of telling me to steer away from this deal or not listen to that, or there's this little tension or uncomfortable thing going on, and I'm going to, you know, I can handle this. By the way, I've been walking with you quite a while now. I got it. You can go out there and help all those other poor wayward brothers of mine and sisters of mine. I got this one. And I know what your word says. We say that, but we don't obey it. And off we go. You know, and then crash and fall into the hole. And next thing God hears is, God, help. And we're crying out. And sometimes, at least this is true in my life, he takes his sweet time getting to me. Because he wants my buffoonery to sink in. We bow to him. The longer you walk with Jesus, the easier it is to bow. You'd like to stay bowed, and bowing is just about all you'd like to just do. And everything. It just works better that way. And you see people around you kind of panicking and what they need to do, and you can't tell them. You just need to kind of just be a little quiet and just say, Lord, teach them how to bow. And the tough thing about that is, you guys, is those of you who've walked with the Lord or you understand this, and I'm not saying that we've arrived at all. But you see some people running around like their heads cut off, and then there are those who are standing still in the midst of the tornado. And you'll know when this is going on, because there'll be the brother that's running around in the circle thinking that urgency is a real important thing. Rather than there's nothing better and there's nothing more important than the important thing. Urgency is not good. Many times urgency sacrifices the important things. And so the urgent one's going to be running around like Martha in the Bible, and Mary's going to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Marthas in your life are going to come up and say, Jesus, tell Mary to get up off of her duff and to help me out. And what does Jesus say? Listen, Martha, Mary's chosen the better thing to do, the important thing. Mary learned how to bow, always at the feet of Jesus. Marthas are running around with flour on their head. They got the apron tied around their neck. You know, they've got pots flying. And they think with all of their doing that they're doing something for the kingdom of God. And when in reality, if I could steal a worldly phrase, haste makes waste. And the Marthas are going to accuse the Marys. Don't you care? Come on, get up here and panic with the rest of us. No, I'm just going to bow. Why? Because you believe in the name of the Son of God. What are you going to do? Something goes wrong? Lord, something's wrong here. It's broke. Can you fix it? You know, our responsibility is to just pray. Can you imagine praying without bowing? So what am I driving down the freeway praying? No, that's good. But in the spirit, you're bowing. Did you know that? You may be sitting in your car, but in the spirit, you're bowing. When you pray, you're bowing. Doesn't matter what position you're in, you're bowing. When you say, Lord Jesus, I come before you, you're entering into the presence of the King. You're getting down on your face. And you're coming with a heart saying, Lord, I need you. There's no way we can fix this. It's liberating. It's very, very liberating. We bow down. Secondly, Our assurance, not only our salvation, but our assurance. Listen, our assurance, it's what we're to know. When he says that you may know, you're to have this knowledge, and it is the word oidos. We are to have a deep consideration, deep understanding, a deep perception that's instilled by the Spirit of God. And I believe this concerning the assurance that we're to know. I believe, Christian, listen carefully, I believe this is God's perfect will for your life, that you have absolute assurance of your salvation. Now listen, some of you have come from denominations that teach otherwise. I want to lay this out before you. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I believe this is true. If you come from a denomination that teaches otherwise, oh, you need this church. If you turn your back on this church, we'll excommunicate you. Listen, not only do I not see that in Scripture, but Paul the Apostle, there was a man at the church of Corinth having sexual relationships with his stepmother. And Paul the Apostle said, concerning this brother, though I be absent, I judge in the Spirit. When you are together and my spirit is present with the Lord Jesus Christ, turn him out of the church. That means don't fellowship with him. He's in sexual sin. You tell him you can't come back to church. You're living in sexual sin. And any ministry that says, hey, you're in sexual sin, get out, that ministry is sick to the core. But if that ministry says, listen, you're living in sin, please stop. And if you don't stop, you gotta go out, because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And because you're a brother, you've got to stop this. And if you don't stop it, you gotta go out. But please stop it. Don't continue like this anymore. A true ministry is gonna weep over a brother in that condition. If that brother says, hey, I'd rather have my cake and eat it too. Then Paul the Apostle said there to the church at Corinth, take this brother, cast him from you, so that Satan will destroy his body. Kill him. So that Satan will destroy his body, so that his soul will be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. How do you deal with that? And when you are of a denominational persuasion that if you don't keep this rule, that rule, and the other rule, then you're going to be excommunicated from the church. That is pure Nicolaitan shepherding antics. Jesus said to the churches in the book of Revelation, I hate them who practice Nicolaitanism. Nico, lords, human lords, laity over the people. Nicolaitans, human lords who lord it over the people. It's wrong. Well, what are you saying? You know, what you're saying means that we can go out and live up a storm and listen. I am not afraid of saying that God's grace is huge. And I am not going to get in an argument over those who receive God's grace and those who reject God's grace. That's God's business. I just preach the word. And if your heart is of the Lord, if Jesus Christ and you believe in him as the Son of God, you are not going to say, hey, that sounds like a license to sin to me. No, because you love Christ, you're going to say, you know, isn't God great? Isn't God awesome? Hey, I'm going to take this back to my brother who's fallen down and encourage him back into the fold. But isn't God great and awesome? And then the person who doesn't know Christ at all, they're going to fold their arms and say, hey, man, it sounds like a license to sin to me. Who? I think I'm going to go out and live it up. You don't know Christ. You've deceived yourself. I believe the Christian is to have absolute assurance, or else, you know, quite frankly, I don't want anything to do with that kind of salvation message. Thank God the Bible is not that kind of salvation message. For God so loved the world. Gee, how many people are that? Paul tells us this. Jesus Christ, he says, died not only for us, but for the whole world, he says. Unfortunately, the whole world doesn't wake up to the reality of that. It's tragic. Are you saved tonight? Do you know it? If you don't, why not? When he made you all the promises. What's your problem? your problem may be of human origin. Well, I was taught this, and I was told this, and after all that, and what does your Bible say? That you may know that you have eternal life. My friend, do you know it? It's neat because he didn't use the word gnosko, which is a great word, but it means to know by experience. He could have used that word and we could have gone on with our study tonight, but he used the word oida. You know that you're a Christian tonight because you have the intuitive knowledge that God says so on the inside. Paul put it this way, his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a son of God. Again, tonight you may be struggling with the reality of that simply because you need to trust what Jesus says. But if you're struggling with this over a doctrinal issue, then you've been fed some bad food. Assurance, we're to know it. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17 says, "The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, a quiet and a deep assurance forever." That's Isaiah 32, 17. What a great verse. A deep, quiet assurance forever. Isaiah 32, 17. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. Paul says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." Paul is saying that when he preached the gospel, he preached it from a position of knowing that he had received from Christ salvation. You guys think, please, if you're struggling with this, think this. You go to work tomorrow. And let's say, just for giggles, you work for IBM. And you drive to your parking spot, you go into IBM, you've got your badge, you put it in the door, you punch in your number, you're in the building. They've given you the number. They've given you the job. You've got their badge. And it says, you know, John Jones, IBM. You've got a desk. You've got a phone. You've got an extension. You've got a position. You get a check. And then now it's time for you to fly to Milwaukee because you've got a business meeting and you represent IBM. And so you fly there and you get there. And then they open up the door and you're going to meet with all these people. And you're the IBM man. You're the man in blue. And you sit at the table, and there are people sitting at that table, and their faces turn toward you, and you know what they expect to hear? They expect to hear from you an authoritative delivery about why IBM is the best in the world on this topic, on this issue, and that you'd be going astray if you went with any other company, because we are the pioneers in this. They're expecting a sales pitch. They're expecting to be convinced. If the world schools and makes its people so confident and assured, how would God leave us in some limbo land and then say, go out and preach the gospel and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? You go, and I know you're not really fully confident of everything you're talking about, and you kind of, you preach, but you don't practice at all, but go tell them that they can be saved forever anyway. I don't get it. I believe that's what makes the new believer so effective, is that they know what they believe, even though they can't even find it in the Bible. They'll get saved on Monday night. They'll go home and tell their brother, and they're botching it all up. They're quoting cockeyed, putting seven verses together, and it's like, whoa, what's he doing? And then he prays, and he leads his brother to the Lord. You go, how did that happen? Spirit of God. David Hume, the atheist, man of yesteryear, famous, David Hume, went out to see Whitfield, I believe it was, preach. And he had been a long-standing critic of Whitfield, mocking him, making fun of him, putting him down. And then he went out to see what all the hubbub was there in England, and all these thousands of people coming to preach. You can go there today, by the way, at Preacher's Corner in England. Still, thousands of people there preaching today. I mean, not thousands of people preaching, maybe 50 people preaching on all the various corners and thousands of people listening to various preachers. And somebody in the crowd recognized David Hume and said, "What are you doing here? You don't believe a word that Whitfield preaches." And he says, "Well, the reason why I'm here even though I do not believe a word in what he preaches, the reason why I'm here is because he believes every word he preaches. A Christian who cannot preach or speak with conviction isn't worth his weight in salt. You say, well, Jack, I can't share with that kind of confidence. That's why we're talking tonight together. These things have been written that you might know that you have eternal life. Man. Nothing else really is that big of a deal once you get that in your heart. The doctor can come up and say, hey, you're looking pretty sickly. I don't think you're long for this world. Well, hallelujah, doc. You know, when it comes down to statistics, it's pretty convincing. 10 out of 10 people die. You're not long for this world either, doctor. And where are you going to go when you die? That doctor could say, but I don't have cancer, or I don't have what you've got. And that doctor could mock you, get in his Mercedes-Benz, and meet up with a Santa Fe Railroad. It's going to happen. Hey, we're all punching out sooner or later. It's just the poor Christian gets labeled oftentimes as a morbid person. It's like, sooner, 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 Lord. You know? Paul, I love Paul. Look, he tells of himself being caught up into heaven. He sees heaven. And then he later on tells the church, he says, listen, I have this passion in my heart to go home and be with Jesus Christ. I'd like to go today. Unfortunately, because you need me, I'll stay. That's what Paul told them. That's a great way to live. Now, I've got young, I think they're young. They think they're older, but I've got kids. And I love them, and I want to see, you know, and they're getting older. So I'm thinking, man, I'd like to have grandkids like next week. That'd be very cool. Because, you know, they're big enough now you can't hug them and squeeze them. They're like pushing you away, you know. And that hurts, you know, but you know, you remember doing that, then your mom and dad remember. It's like, Mom, drop me off 3 miles from the corner, will you? Remember that? Don't you? It's parents. But as time goes on, that changes, you know, and they start to experience life. It's like 20s to mid-20s. They start thinking, gosh, you know what? Dad wasn't that stupid after all. You notice the older you get, the smarter your parents become. Well, in this relationship that we have with the Lord, He wants us to be fully assured.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from one key verse in 1 John chapter 5, and verse 13. Now the title of this presentation, That You May Know. It's a study in how and why the true believer is assured of his salvation. That You May Know, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now we're getting pretty close to the end of this New Testament letter of 1 John, and soon we'll be taking a look at 2 and 3 John. Now people are getting in touch with us and saying, hey, I got to get a hold of this 1 John series, so we've decided to make it available on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Now again, here's our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's series in 1 John all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Now whether you call, click, or write, just mention this 1 John series. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org. Or give us a call if you'd like. The number is 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.